This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
هما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. Amma ba'd, we begin by thanking and praising Allah, our Lord and Master and Creator, the one true God, the most merciful, the most excellent, the most high. We praise Allah and we thank Him as He is entitled to our praise and gratitude. We ask Allah for guidance. We ask Allah for steadfastness upon guidance. We ask Allah for protection from all evil and harm. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. We bear witness that there is no one, nothing worthy of worship except Allah alone. And we bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His last and final prophet and messenger. We beg Allah to shower our beloved messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with compliments and salutations, and to do so upon his family and his companions and all of those who follow his sunnah, his tradition until the end of time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us, commanded the believers to have taqwa of Him, as it is His right to have awareness and consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be in a state of obedience and submission to Allah, and to always be protecting yourself from falling into actions that displease and anger Allah. The companion Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu was seen in the city of Medina after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, surrounded by a group of eager listeners. And a man who was traveling and visiting the city entered and saw this group huddled and gathered so passionately and listening so intently. And so he waited until this group dispersed. And this man approached Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, and he asked him a very interesting question. He said to him, "I want you to inform me, to relate to me a hadith, a narration, a quote, a statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that you yourself directly heard from the mouth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and that Rasulullah said to you in complete privacy. No one else was around. I want to hear that statement." So Abu Hurairah said to this man, "I will relate to you a statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he said to me. I heard it directly from his mouth and no one was around. He said it to me in complete privacy." And Abu Hurairah began to relate the hadith. And he said, "The Messenger of Allah said to me, 'Ya Abu Hurairah,'" and as he began to relate the hadith, "shahqa shahqatan," Abu Hurairah began to choke and then he collapsed on his side. And when he regained his strength and he sat up, he attempted to relate the hadith again. He said, "The Messenger of Allah said to me, 'O Abu Hurairah,'" and as he began to utter the words of the Messenger of Allah, again he lost all strength and energy and he fell down. Clearly he was moved by the statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He attempted a third time. And again, as he said, "The Messenger of Allah said to me, 'Ya Aba Hurairah,'" and then he fell. This man, this traveler, held him up, propped him up, and encouraged him until Abu Hurairah finally was able, after several attempts, to complete the narration. And he said, "The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to me, 'Inna awwal an-nasi يُقْضَى يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ عَلَيْهِ رَجُلٌ إِسْتُشْهِدَ.'" The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Of the first people on the Day of Judgment that will be sent to punishment was an individual who was actually a martyr, who was someone that sacrificed everything they have, including the most valuable thing they have, their life, in a endeavor, in a path to protect and preserve the religion." How is that possible? The hadith continues, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that this man will be brought before Allah. فَيُعَرِّفَهُ نِعَمَهُ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remind this man of the blessings of Allah upon him. Allah will mention the blessing of strength, the blessing of ability that this individual had, physical strength and ability. And this individual will recognize all of these blessings of Allah. He will remember them, in fact. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask him a simple question. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, قَالَ فَمَا عَمِلْتَ فِيهَا, what did you do with this strength and with this ability that we blessed you with? And this man will respond, O Allah, I exerted this strength, sacrificing and fighting and struggling for your sake. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the most wise and who nothing, absolutely nothing escapes the knowledge and awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah on that day will say to this man, كَذَبْتَ, you are in fact telling a lie. And the angels upon hearing this will testify. And the malaika will say, كَذَبْتَ, in fact you are telling a lie. It is relatively doable or easy in this dunya to get away with a lie. Sometimes. Some people don't get away with it, but some people seem to get away with it. But in the akhirah, all records will be brought forth. There is no lying on the Day of Judgment. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will in fact expose this person's true intention. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, وَلَكِنَّكَ قَاتَلْتَ لِأَنْ يُقَالْ هُوَ جَرِيءٌ, in fact, the reason you did all of what you did was so that it would be said about you how brave this man is. How brave and courageous and strong this person is. That's really what was driving you. That was your motivational force. That was your internal energy that pushed you to continue struggling and working hard. And then the Prophet ﷺ said that this individual will be dragged on their face to the hellfire. But that's not the only one. There are two others. The second, the Prophet ﷺ said to the companion Abu Hurairah, another person who will be brought is the one who recited the Qur'an. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask this person, why did you recite the Qur'an? And this person will say, to recite your words and to teach it. And this is someone who might have put a lot of time and energy to learn the book of Allah, to perfect the recitation, perhaps even to teach others and tutor and train others to recite properly. And yet again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will set the record straight and will say, كَذَبْتَ, in fact, you are telling a lie. And the angels will testify, in fact, you are telling a lie. Rather, you recited the book of Allah, you learnt it, you put in effort, you might have even taught others, so that it would be said about you, هُوَ قَارِئٌ, what an excellent reciter of the book of Allah that person is. And such was said. But your driving force, your motivation, your internal energy was not seeking the pleasure of Allah, but rather it was seeking the praise of those who heard you. And that's not the only one. There is a third person as well. And that third person will be someone who spent a lot of their wealth, a lot of their resources, munfiq, and they will be brought forward. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remind this individual of his blessings upon him, and they will recognize these blessings of wealth and of resources. And Allah will ask this person, what did you do with this wealth? And this person will say, oh Allah, I didn't find any project, any need for your sake that needed funding, except that I went forward and funded and gave. And Allah again will set the record straight and say, كذبت, you are lying. And the angels will testify, you are lying. You did that so that it would be said about you how generous, how giving, how kind such a person is. For each of these people, the Prophet ﷺ said, they will be amongst the first people to be taken to the hellfire. And they will have their punishment. What exactly are they being punished for? From our perspective, they seem to have done very great, praiseworthy, lofty actions. But in fact, what they are punished for is that they did external acts of worship, but internally, there was no sincerity. The term that the scholars use for that, and the term that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger used for that is ikhlas. And literally this word in the Arabic language, ikhlas, refers to when something is purified, when something is removed of all impurities. Khalis. It's that specific element without any other impurities. And this is in fact something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Qur'an set as a basic foundation and as a basic prerequisite and as a necessary condition for the acceptance of all good deeds. No matter how small, no matter how big, no matter how public, no matter how private. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Bayyinah, وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. Allah says they were not commanded except to express servitude to Allah, to fulfill the obligations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, مُخْلِصِينَ, with complete sincerity. And the scholars have given so many definitions to try to understand this basic yet profound concept. Of what was said, very simply, تَفْرِيغُ الْقَلْبِ لِلَّهِ. One of the most simplest and abridged definitions. One of the scholars said, it is to empty your heart of anything except Allah. That means to seek the reward for what you are doing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exclusively alone. Why is this important? First of all, it's important because it is necessary for the acceptance of our deeds. For the acceptance of our deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Qur'an described people that come on the Day of Judgment with a lot of actions, but Allah described it as haba'an manthura. وَقَدِمْنَا إِلَى مَا عَمِلُوا مِنْ عَمَلٍ فَجَعَلْنَاهُ هَبَاءً مَنْثُورًا. Individuals will come on the Day of Judgment thinking they have amassed a big record of a lot of deeds. But in fact, they will see that it doesn't have much weight. It's like particles blowing and being swept away in the air. What matters with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not the magnanimity of the deed, but what gives deeds weight and what anchors them in the records with Allah is in fact sincerity. Another reason why this is extremely crucial and important is because as time goes on, our culture and our society becomes more and more connected. And some see a lot of benefits to that. And sure, there can be a lot of benefits to that. One of the problems that arises is that we are constantly exposed. Everything that happens to us is known. As a matter of fact, culture nowadays encourages us to share everything. Share everything that you do under the premise of encouraging others and motivating others and building sense of community and empowerment. And all that is fine and dandy. But the problem is, when everything that we do becomes public, there is no way to prevent that from permeating in our heart of hearts. And it becomes even more difficult to exercise sincerity. Because subconsciously we start thinking, how will I get exposure for this? How will this deed or this action motivate others? The scholars likened this to a candle. They said a candle gives light to those around, but in fact it is burning and reducing itself. And speaking of candles and light, when we look to the experiences of the early pious predecessors, great accomplished people in this ummah, we see that they always sought to have privacy and secrecy for their good deeds as much as possible. If any one of them needed to share something for the benefit of teaching or illustrating to others, then definitely they would have more than that was done in private. It is said that a great scholar by the name of Abdullah ibn Mubarak, who is known in the books of hadith and in the narrations from the early generations, that he was traveling with a group of people and they had camped in a place, so they set their lantern on, you know, some oil, something to burn. And after a short period of time, that source of light blew out, ran out of fuel. And so they came together to get some more fuel, get some more oil, prepare the lantern, turn it back on. They're sitting camping out in the wild, there's darkness. By the time they were able to turn it back on, their companion, who was this great scholar, Abdullah ibn Mubarak, they found and they described that his facial hair was moist and damp from tears. They didn't even hear any crying, but he was suppressing it and crying so much. So they pressed him, "What is making you cry?" And he said, "When that light went away, the first thing that came to my imagination was, how will the darkness of the grave be?" That's a powerful reminder of how people that are God conscious are always thinking about Allah and returning back to Allah. But what amazes me about it is, and this is a very, very simple observation, you tell the story to a young child, a 4-year-old, the first thing they'll ask is, how come they didn't hear him crying? Because there was an effort to protect and keep a secret with Allah. One of the early scholars, Sahl ibn Abdullah al-Tusturi, was asked about his night prayer. They asked him, they said, "How do you do your night prayer? Can you tell us about your experiences with Qiyamul Layl?" What a nice question. They were surprised to see that this scholar turned to them with an angry expression. فَغَضِبَ عَلَيْهِمْ. He got upset with them. Why? He said to them, "If I have one rak'ah that I did, that only Allah knows about it, and it was done sincerely for Him, that is more beloved to me than if I pray every single night, all night, and I tell it to all of you and expose it." We are taught by our great predecessors to always be keen to have a secret with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspire us to be diligent in our worship and obedience of Him, not only when there are those looking or listening or watching, but especially when only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching. Allahumma inna ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. We ask you, O Allah, to help us to remember you and to be grateful to you and to be excellent in our worship of you. قُلْ قُلِي هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ مِنْ كُلِّ ذَنْبٍ فَاسْتَغْفِرُهُ إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. اللهم صلِّ وسلِّم وأنعم وأكرم وزد وبارك على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. As the month of Ramadan approaches us, many people asked, "Speak about preparing for Ramadan. Tell us how we can get ready for Ramadan." And I think there have been lots of reminders about this, as is good and necessary. But we begin at the beginning. The best way to prepare for the month of Ramadan and for every other month and for every deed that we do in our life in this upcoming blessed month and beyond is to exercise sincerity. To remind ourselves always, why are we doing these deeds? And the answer should be to seek reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. If that is not our answer, then we need to do riyadatun nufus. We need to do some workout on our soul. And make sure that we are not only obeying and worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we are in congregation or in public or when others are watching or when we can share and talk about it with others. But as much as we are sharing, as much is known about us, there should be more that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows of acts of goodness and of good deeds. The best way to prepare for the month of Ramadan is to welcome it and to begin and to approach it and to get ready for it with complete sincerity. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who fast and pray and recite the Qur'an and give charity. خَالِصًا لِوَجْهِهِ الْكَرِيمِ Seeking reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exclusively alone. On the topic of Ramadan, there's been a beautiful project and initiative that was brought forth from the outreach committee of this masjid. May Allah bless them and increase them in goodness. And that is to facilitate for you a way to share the month of Ramadan and to teach others about it and making that very easy for you. Many of us may have a difficult time starting a conversation with our neighbors, with our coworkers, with our friends or classmates. And that is why the da'wah committee here in this masjid has come up with a beautiful gesture to help you do that very easily. We've done it before, and alhamdulillah, they have done it again. And we have these beautiful Ramadan gift boxes. In this box is a small snack to for your gift receiver to enjoy. And there's also some information about the month of Ramadan, about the religion of Islam. We always hear that sharing about our religion is important and is mandatory upon us. But many of us get very lazy, or many of us get very shy. Here is a way to facilitate that and to make it easy for you. And they are being sold outside for $5. So I encourage everyone to pick up as many of these as you can fit in your hands and in your cars, inshaAllah ta'ala. I spoke with Brother Jamal, who is the coordinator, and inshaAllah, we hope to see that all of them will sell out today. Bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. Let us encourage one another to spread the message of our beautiful religion and to not only experience this blessed month alone, but to make sure everyone around us feels the joy and the blessing of the month of Ramadan. May Allah make us of those who recognize the truth and follow it, and who recognize falsehood and stay away from it. And we ask Allah to protect us from confusion. رَبَّنَا أَتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ Oh Allah, we ask you for the best of this life. Oh Allah, we ask you for the best of the afterlife. And oh Allah, we beg you to protect us from the torment of the hellfire. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وأقم الصلاة.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن